defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. We're talking about the 4th of July, and if you missed the last segment, hey, we were talking about barbecue. Doc Bill, I'm ready to run off now and just go get some. I don't know if I can wait till later on today.
Well, I think it's a good thing to do. And I think when we're in Georgia, we should definitely think about chicken.
Yeah, we didn't talk about chicken. What about barbecue and chicken?
Chicken is it's a great food. It's a great source of protein. It's really, really popular today. More people want to eat chicken than they want to eat pork and they want to eat beef. But us being the poultry capital of the world, I think we need to look, at least in this state, of renovating and doing things with chicken, particularly heritage breeds. I mean, all chicken doesn't taste alike, and how chicken's raised is different. We should have different heritage farms here in Georgia. We should be having chicken of different types of varieties, sold at different prices, cooked a variety of ways. And we need to capitalize on that resource that we have. Otherwise, it's going to go elsewhere. Mm-hmm. You have great renovations occurring in South Carolina with whole hog and different heritage hogs and different breeds of hogs. As a matter of fact, one of the most famous hogs in South Carolina is Osceola hog, which they're pushing, and you have farmers producing it. But it's a Georgia hog.
Yeah.
Again, we need to take advantage of what we have here in our state and, have chicken for that 4th of July. And let's hopefully we'll have different advantages and different heritage type chickens. And Georgia will become a place where we have heritage chicken, and we are known for our varieties of chicken and places to cook and barbecue and grill chicken a lot of different ways.
Well, that gives me an idea. Maybe then we should just barbecue a little bit of chicken instead of, along with my ribs. I do have to have those ribs. And we can post some of that on the website. What it looks like, and maybe your recipe for it?
I think that's something we definitely should do.
We can start this whole campaign of getting chicken as the state's choice for barbecue.
I think so.
I love that idea. But now, before you run off and start barbecuing, though, Doc Bill, we haven't done this in a while because we get a lot of questions. We get emails. We get some Facebook also messages where people want to ask us questions about their travel or just about travel in general. So I think it's time for us to go and raid the mailbag again and answer some of those questions. What do you think?
I think it's a good idea to do. I mean, we've got some great questions. And one question here that I've been looking at is, how do I find the cheapest vacation for my family?
Well, that is a very good question. And that is one that we get all of the time because people are looking for a way to have a deal, a way to save money and to stay within that budget. But I always say that we have to change our thinking a little bit about that. And instead of saying how is the cheapest way that I can vacation, how about let's start saying how can I find the best value for my vacation? Because when you think about it from that standpoint, you really start to look at it a little bit differently. Because when we think about the cheapest, we're just looking at the money amount. So let's use for an example, if I was going to New York City and I found a great rate at a hotel for $150 and I said, okay, let's book that $150 because that's the cheapest that I see. But I'm not taking into account that if I look a little further, I might find a hotel that's for $195 a night, and everyone who's staying in the room gets free breakfast. That's a savings right there of $75 to $100 per day. So you need to look at value instead of looking at just only the price, and you'll actually end up having probably the cheapest vacation just by doing that.
And also location as well. The hotel located in one place could be closer to where you want to go to. You may pay a bit more for it, but overall, you include transportation costs, like you're saying, it's cheaper.
Absolutely. So just taking all of those things into consideration. And another thing, too, I like to look for with hotels is whether or not they have Wi-Fi included. Because if they don't, that could add another $15 to $20 per day to your hotel bill. And then, of course, you do have to remember that taxes, and a lot of times there's city taxes, hotel taxes, all of those that will be added into the price as well. So if you can cut down in one way to not have to pay for breakfast, not have to pay for Wi-Fi, I say that's a good deal right there.
That's valuable information. Let's look at another question here. This question is regarding to the TSA. The question is, what is the TSA 311?
I get that a lot because people go through the airport and they see the 311 and they're kind of wondering, what is that? Or they hear people talking about it. And we've talked about 311 on the show before, but I think it's always a good thing to review some of these. And 311 sounds kind of catchy, but people may forget what it means and think about it. Maybe it means something along the lines of like 411 or 911. So you've chosen a good one there. So literally, I was just asked this yesterday, so I have a good answer to it. Now, after 9/11, the Department of Homeland Security created regulations about what we can and cannot bring on board in our carry-ons. So all toiletries should be no larger than 3.4 ounces. That's where the 3 comes in. All of the bottles must fit within a 1-quart size clear bag. That's where the first one comes in. And then there's only one bag per person. So that's where the second one comes in. So today, though, a lot of times you can skip taking those quart-sized bags with all of your toiletries out of your bag if you're lucky, and you get the TSA pre-check. So you don't have to take them out, but you do still have to have them in your bag in that quart-sized plastic clear bag. So that's what 311 means.
Oh, some great information. Another question is, how can I avoid taking my computer cosmetic bag out of my regular suitcase bag, and how can I also keep my shoes on in the process when I have to go through the checkout?
Well, you know, I laugh because, you know, wouldn't that be great if we could all do that? Remember those days of flying when you didn't have to go through all of that? And like I just said, you know, the 911, when that happened back, you know, 9/11, rather, when that happened way back when, it seems like now, that changed a lot of things. So now you do have to take off your shoes because there's a possibility of there being bombs in shoes. So, you know, there are ways that you can get around it, though. So let's take a look at that. So if you're a frequent traveler, you may be lucky enough to get the free pass with what's called the TSA pre-check. Now, this allows you to breeze through TSA security lines. They're usually shorter, not all the time, but you can leave your shoes on and all of your electronics can stay in your bag. But you are still required to go through the scanner and you must still dump your keys. But that is one way to do it. Now, there's a way to apply for this because you may not always get the free TSA pre-check. You can apply for this at $85 for 5 years. And it's an application which includes a background check as well as fingerprinting. But it allows you to breeze through. And then if you're also a person who takes a couple of international trips a year, you may also want to apply for global entry, which will then include the TSA pre-check. And that's just $100. So for $15 more, you get both of them.
How does that work with passports, the global entry system? Is it just entering the United States, or is it when you leave the United States, or does it have effect in other countries as well?
Well, that's a very good question, because there are some other programs that you can apply for that are in Canada, and it's called the Nexus system there. Mexico has the Sentry, and you can apply for those. Now, the Canadian one does not include the global entry, but the Mexican one, the Sentry, does include both the global entry as well as TSA pre-check. So those are good ones to check out as well. And the Mexico one, I think, is $120. The Canadian one is $50. So just check those out. Now, you can go to www.dhs.gov and look for the comparison chart there that lists all of the different programs and see which one really works best for you. And that's a great way to keep everything in your bag, keep your shoes on, and just breeze through that TSA security check.
Well, that sounds neat. I mean, again, this is ways to get through things and make things a bit easier. A lot of times when I travel, I like to take a lot of my, tech gadgets with me. And I found one of the neat things is the Scotty vest. You know, I can put my iPad in there, my iPhone, any camera lenses, any type of my wallet, my keys. And when you get to the checkout, just take your vest off and just run it through the scanner with it. Just run it through the scanner with the luggage. And they don't take it out because the Scotty vest has been looked and approved as something you could take something through. So that's kind of neat.
I love the Scotty vest just for that because it makes it really easy, especially if you do travel with a lot of electronics. So that's a great idea. You can check that out online, too, at thescottyvest.com. Now, I wonder what they're doing down on the Sapelo Island for the 4th of July.
Well, Sapelo is known for having the Sapelo 5K race. Now, you have to be on Sapelo to do it, and it's on the 4th of July, there's no ferry. So that means you've got to be there on the 3rd or have your own transportation to get over there. But it's the 5K race, and usually there's a crowd of about 20 to 30 people that run it. And it's a neat race. It's run in the morning, and they have the finish line there with the tape going across. And
and a lot of participants as well as spectators. Now, no worries if you have to come over on the 3rd. There's no problem with that because you can stay in one of Sapelo Island Birdhouses. You can check them out at sapeloislandbirdhouses.com or give them a call at 912-223-6515. And you guys stay put. When we come back, we'll answer more of your questions. This is Travel Bags with Anita and Friends on North Georgia's News Talk, AM 550 and FM 102.9, WDUN.